Styriacus, written by Raxheim and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, The Locked Tomb. Summary, Time Fuckery on Bone Island. Time was a curious thing on the Mithrium. In some corner of the space station, the Imperial clock ticked away like a heartbeat, unaffected by space or travel, marking the countdown towards apocalypse. But it was hard to be aware of it, despite Teacher and the others' increasingly frequent mentions of Number 7's imminent arrival. On the Mithrium, time took on a woozy, unbalanced quality that made Harrow feel like her head was stuffed through with cotton and razor wire, the days and weeks and months slipping through her fingers and washing around her like a sick tide. Harrow's former life as the Lady of the Ninth House did not include enough exposure to deep space to have been trained for it, and it made her feel sick. This was not entirely unexpected, but she had assumed that her ascension to Lictorhood, or half-Lictorhood, would have protected her. Like all necromancers, she had been well warned of the consequence of deep space on necromantic aptitude, and she had simply, naively, stupidly, assumed that was all it was, and that the battery of endless power within her would render her immune. She had been such a fool not to prepare for this. Even the most unnecromantic of Trentum's cannon fodder had to get through an adjustment period. Harrow felt like she had been, should have been, aware, on some abstract level, that all cohort recruits had to go through some kind of basic training on managing time and keeping their wits in the bowels of a spaceship, surrounded by nothing but blackness and starlight. But she had never cared about the cohort to know anything beyond thinking that such a training might exist. Ianthe had scoffed at her, when Harrow mentioned it, chiding her for her previous self's lack of scope, and Harrow's brazen disregard for anything outside that little molehill you grew up on, which, while being a very romantic backstory in theory, is so terribly boring in reality. Harrow had, in response, gone into the pantry and moved all of Ianthe's favorite food items to different, and significantly less accessible, shelves. She was not utterly unprepared to manage herself. Unlike the houses of the Third or Seventh, which were close enough to Dominicus to operate dictated by their own rotation, the Ninth House was drilled so deep into the planet's surface that it only made sense to use the same timekeeping systems that the Empire used on its spaceships. Harrow was familiar with adhering her sleep, what little there was, to the strictly timed cycle of habitation lights, and was not at all disconcerted with the absence of any seasonal change in climate. On the Ninth, any atmospheric or weather changes were a sign of failure of the life support systems, and would have signaled the doom of her whole house. In short, she should have felt right at home. But there was something missing on the Mithrium. Harrow had never before been so far away from what was dying. All around her on the Ninth, her congregation had become older, and the Ninth's reserves got smaller. Every year, she grit her teeth and signed purchase orders, and dug a little deeper into her house's bones, hollowing it out from the inside. Gutting it, chipping away at its already hopeless future for one more year of heat and light and food for her dying people. Her home had been rotting away for a myriad, and here, so unfathomably far away, she did not know how to orient herself. Back on the Ninth, Harrow had managed the snow leak planting cycle based on the Imperial calendar, and kept careful records of the planet's slow crawl around Dominicus. She knew, somewhat abstractedly, that an Imperial year was correlated to something about the First's rotation around the same, but it was so removed from the reality of her life that she didn't remember exactly what the difference was. Here, 40 billion light-years away from Dominicus in that ancient rotation, Harrow paced the bone-filled catacombs of the Mithrium, surrounded by the bones of the newly dead, laid next to the bones of those whose souls had been gone for a myriad. The latent thanergy was hot and thick, laid over itself 10,000 times, and frozen. The weight of 10,000 years seemed to bend and flex, the natural fading of Thanergy aborted, violently, by the King Undying's hand, untouched by time and enveloped by it, incorruptible. The end. Author's notes. Inspired by that one time, I utterly lost my mind trying to think about how the fuck does the Empire keep time across 9 planets, 40 plus billion light years, uncountable cohort ships, and all extended colonies and battlegrounds. I just think it would be really cool if there was this great biomechanical imperial clock full of tubes and wires and mysterious steaming liquids and 10,000-year-old gears made of questionable material that ticks away unendingly in the heart of the Mithrium, and the whole Empire operates around it, and nobody alive remembers how it works. I would also accept this immense and incredibly sexy contraption existing in the bowels of Kanan House. The end.